Hi, you're listening to Screen of the Crime.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Maggie, and this is a podcast where we talk about true crime.
And what would happen if your favorite TV and movie characters committed those crimes. Welcome back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
What's new? What's happening?
I was catfished by a job interview. So I had a job interview last Thursday with a company called InSpark Group. And they advertise their position as a marketing position using, like, unique techniques to, like, advertise and sell and market in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like a marketing job.
Yeah.
So I took off work, and I went to this job, and they didn't interview me until 20 minutes after my scheduled interview time. And I get in there, and they ask for my resume, and I give them my resume. And then he looks at it, and he says, what position here, if you got to pick any, would you like? And I was like, I would like to market, like, be in a marketing team. And he's like, okay, so what we do here, it's we go straight to retail marketing. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, such as we're the AT&T table in BJ's. And I'm like, fuck. That's not marketing.
Yeah.
And then he didn't really ask me any questions. He asked me about, like, my job at school and then, like, a job I had at payroll. And he was like, it looks like you're a great manager. Would you be interested in that? You can really move up fast in this company. I'm like, yeah, sure. And then we scheduled the second interview, and I had to email him yesterday and be like, I'm so sorry, I don't want this shit job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need a marketing co-op to graduate.
Yeah.
Not to stand at the AT&T table and BJ's.
Mm-hmm.
So that really upset me on Thursday. And then yesterday, my mother told me on the phone that my aunt thinks the reason that I'm not getting jobs is because my hair is long. But little did she know that Saturday I cut my hair off. So I have a bob now. It's super fun to wash because there's no hair there. But that's not the reason I'm not getting jobs, so I would just like to say that. And I would also like to make a statement. If you're a relative of mine and you're listening to this and you think it's cringy when I curse, might I recommend you stop listening to this podcast? You don't have to do it for me.
Just
I would actually prefer if you didn't do it for me.
Just press play and put it on mute just for the...
Yeah, just for the ads, man.
Just for the listens.
So there's that. Nothing else really new.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I have to work on a project later. I was working on a project this weekend. I'm just, you know, doing homework all the time, basically. It's fun, though. I have to paint an owl. And I was like, so I sent in, like, thumbnails and stuff to my professor, and there's a limited number of thumbnails to send because it's, like, you know, an owl. I decide which one I'm painting. Like, there's really... And, like, I have to use, like, my reference picture, so it's, like, this is the position the owl will be in no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, sent the thumbnails, and I was like, oh, I'm probably going to do, like, an oil painting with this. Now, I don't know what possessed me to say that because I have not... I just have not oil painted. I have, like, once, and that's it, because, like, I never went and, like... got oil paint. Like, at my high school, like, we did not have oil paint.
We weren't allowed to oil paint at my high school.
Yeah, so it's like, I just used acrylic or whatever, but I'm like, you know what, let's class things up. Let's do an oil painting. And then, like, I was talking to my professor, and he's like, oh, I think it's so cool that you're doing an oil painting. Like, last night, I had started just doing it digitally, because I was like, fuck this. You know, I'm just gonna do this. And then he's like, oh, that sounds like so cool. Like, that'll be really interesting to see. I'm like, damn it. So now I have to do an oil painting.
I mean, you could always tell him. Nah,
I know, but I don't. He's a sweet man. I think I do want to do it, but we'll just see how it turns out. I probably will have that as a backup, though, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be my week.
Mm.
I have to get all these supplies, though, and I just really don't know that much about oil paint.
I don't like oil painting, mostly because it stays wet. And I have a preference to acrylic painting because when you fuck up, you can just paint over it.
I guess you can kind of do that with oil painting, though, because you can, like, just keep, like, you can wipe it away because it's wet for so long.
No, I know. I've oil painted. But not really. You know, like, you could wipe it away, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a preference to acrylic, and I also don't care for the texture.
Mm.
Like, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
I love old oil paintings, but, like, I don't need that in my life. I also don't do art anymore, I guess, so it doesn't matter.
Mm.
I've never done art before in my life. No one can ever critique my art.
Who's critiquing your art?
No one.
Oh.
But just, like, sometimes I post art on, like, my Finsta, and I'm like, you can't tell me it's bad, because I'm doing it. You can't tell me it's bad. You're not allowed to, because I don't do art anymore.
I feel like that would be so funny if, like, people, because, like, I, like, made an art Instagram not too long ago. Just because I, like, didn't want to for a while, because I was like, I don't really think it matters that much, really, like, at this point. So I'm like, whatever.
I think an art Instagram's good if you, like, want to, like, a portfolio of your art.
Yeah.
In the public eye to view.
Yeah.
That isn't mixed with selfies, you know what I mean?
No, I understand what you mean. I just think, like, in the, like, circles that I would be, like, in the circles that I'm in, I don't think it's, like, as big of a thing. Like, people who have art Instagrams who are, like, more, like, purely illustration, I feel like it's, like, oh, yeah, totally, like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I feel like with just, like, some of the stuff, it's, like, I have it just because I like posting, and, like, I love going onto it, and, like, because I only follow, like, art accounts on it.
Mm.
So it's kind of fun just to, like, go through and, like, only have art accounts sometimes and just, like, see what people are up to. But it's kind of funny. But I forgot where I was going with that. I don't know. Oh, geez. I really just forgot.
Talking about art? Commenting on art?
Oh, yeah.
Critiquing art?
Oh, yeah. It would be so whack if, like, people just, like, had critiques of art, like, in, because, like, instead of just being, like, oh, like, troll kind of comments, like, if you're, like, a lot of followers, but, like, people, like, if one of my classmates just was, like, critiqued my art, like, on Instagram, I'd be, like, fuck you, you know? It's, like, save it for
people class. Have done it before.
Yeah.
I have an art Instagram that I don't, use anymore, because I don't do art, mm-hmm. and I've never done art. But, like, I think, like, people have, like, DM'd me and be like, oh, well, the eyes are just, like, a little, like, too close. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thank you. Let me just delete it. Yeah.
Damn.
But I don't do art anymore, so.
I can't tell if you, like, are glad or mad about that.
No, like, I'm very happy that I don't have to do art. But I would like to do art. But I don't want to be forced to do art.
Like, you don't want to, like, you would not want to be in, like,
I think attending school for art and being forced into classes in fifth grade so that I could go to a more academically advanced middle school because I auditioned for art, so I got into the academically advanced middle school, ruined art for me.
Mm.
Because my whole entire memory, because I don't remember anything in elementary school, is only me being forced to do art.
Mm.
Like, what if I didn't do that? Maybe I would have had a hobby that wasn't art. Maybe. I think it ruined it for me. Like, I'll do art for funsies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can draw. Because I went to school for it. But also, I can't get back, like, the... Well, I just like drawing robots, you know? Like, I can't... I don't do that. That will never be there for me.
Yeah.
But if I had to draw, like, another fucking still life, I think I might kill someone.
Oh. Yeah. That's true.
My audition for high school, we had to... We were put in a room with a still life. And we had to draw it. And we had, I think, about 2 hours to draw the still life. With, like, you know, the drawing pencils.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I went to classes to learn how to draw still life in an audition. Like, I probably went to, like, over 100 classes for that.
Damn.
When they're just mock auditions, you're just fucking drawing still lifes over. And they're like, this is how you have to frame it. This is how you have to do it. This is how you're gonna get in. You have to, like, zoom in on, like, four objects. Make it perfect. Shade it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in. I got a perfect score on my audition. Did it help me in life? Maybe. My high school was good. But now... No.
Mm.
You know? Because you didn't go to an art high school. And we're in the same college, so, like...
Well, yeah.
Nothing against you, Tess. I just feel like... I'm not pursuing art, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. I'll say.
We have
the exact opposite experience. I was like, my high school had one art class.
And don't get me wrong, I liked my art classes.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though, where you're just like, all, like, by the end of, like, because again, like, first year, just like, you see what everyone posts. Like, it's all the same, like, still life.
I still see what people post. No offense. Just like, I saw Bridget's owl painting.
Yeah.
And, like, you're doing the same thing. So it's like, you're still drawing still lifes.
Well, that's, like, that's better, though, because that's, like, an actual animal. But, like, zoological botanical illustration is, like, but also, to be fair, medical illustration is, like, drawing still lifes of, is the drawing still lifes of art. It's, like, not very creative.
Yeah, I know.
Which I don't know. I like it just because, like, you can do some fun stuff, but... It's not like the illustration majors who are like, have, you know.
Doing fun things.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about art. I will get into this, but before that, I would like to say that I started two new TV shows. The first one is, I'm Not Okay With This, the new Netflix original show with the girl from It and the boy from It, and that's it. Sophia Lillis is her name, and the other guy plays Stan, and he plays Stan in the show too. It's very good. It is gay, if that sways anyone. The episodes are super short, and it's made by the person that made Into the Fucking World, so it's kind of got that feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got superpowers.
Mm.
And then the other one I started is Hunters. It's on Amazon Prime. And it's starring Logan Lerman and Al Pacino. That doesn't sound right to me. he's, like, famous, but I don't know who he is because he's old. I'll give you a minute. It's produced by Jordan Peele, if that sways anyone.
I love how you're, like... Really trying to get people.
It's Al Pacino. I was correct.
Mm.
Can you stop fucking with my water
bottle? I'm trying to fix it. Okay.
Sorry. But it's set in 1977 in NYC, baby. And it focuses on a ragtag group of people. Mostly Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, a black chick with an afro and some Asian dude who was in, like, two wars. It's got the guy from How I Met Your Mother in it. Ted.
Really?
He's great. I love him. But Logan Lerman, you know, if you've ever seen Percy Jackson when you were a child, you know that he was the love of my life.
Oh, gosh. All the fucking Percy Jackson people.
I loved Percy Jackson. I read all the books. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because first of all, I can argue this, but Rick Riordan Percy Jackson was to make the dyslexic people feel better. But also, it was a well-written book.
Oh, no. I don't have anything against Percy Jackson. Just because my one friend in high school was so into Percy.
That's away from you.
My one friend from high school was so into Percy Jackson, but, like, in a cringe way. So I feel like it's, like, the same way, like, there's just certain,
like they cosplayed?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we don't like cosplayers. And I stand by that.
Okay, sure.
Because Percy Jackson's great. Big fan. Oh, yeah.
I did not read the books.
You're really missing out.
I remember seeing the movie, though, and I really liked it.
I saw the movie before I read the books, and then I read the books, and I was like, oh, the movie didn't follow this plot.
Yeah, it's really different.
Then I saw the second movie, and I was really pumped for it. Because Logan Lerman does, like, a flip off a thing, and there's music playing, and I was like, fuck yeah, Logan. And I was in love with Logan Lerman, and my mom knew it. And so every time I would mention, because when I like something, I'd,
Hyperfixate
on it, which, I mean, let me be on that one. But every time I would talk about something with it, because I never told my mom I liked anything ever, she would always be like, oh, does that have Logan in it? And she would embarrass me. And that's why I never told her about anything I liked ever. Anyway, but they're a ragtag group of Jewish people and a couple other minorities, and they kill Nazis.
Whoa.
And I know I made it sound weird, but it's, like, really great, and a lot of the scenes are very, like, comic booky or, like, really 70s, like, bang-bang things, and it's, like, very comedic, and I think it would be more comedic. What are you playing?
There's just a broken match. I'm so sorry, but whenever we do this, like, me listening to it, I just randomly start picking up things. I'm so sorry. It's just a match.
I know.
It's not causing anyone any harm.
Okay.
It's not making any noise.
And it's very comedic. Like, there's a scene in, like, the second episode when they walk into an elevator and the Ted Mosby character goes, now let's introduce the group. And then it, like, transitions to some girl's bat mitzvah. Mm-hmm. And, like, we don't know who she is. But apparently, I was never invited to a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah. But I'm assuming there's, like, a lighting candle situation that happens. Because that's what happened in this.
Okay.
I was like, you, like, have people light 8 candles. I know it sounds like a menorah, like a Hanukkah thing, but it was a bat mitzvah.
God, don't ask me.
There was, like, a cake with, like, the Star of David on it, uh-huh. And it was, like, the hunters. And then she, like, introduced them all. She's like, can, like, Sister Susan light my first candle? And it was, like, this, like, flashy, like, 70s, like, movie thing of her, like, holding machine guns. And she's, like, dressed like a nun. Mm-hmm. And then she, like, that's how they introduced all the characters, mm-hmm. was they, like, lit candles, yeah. At this bat mitzvah. It's great. I recommend watching it. If you think Logan Lerman does a whole flash mob to Staying Alive, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But it's cheesy, it's fun, it's also kind of dark. Because, you know, Nazis. I like saying Nazis like that, sorry.
Okay.
I really recommend watching it. I will get into the case now.
Okay. Before you do that, I have, like, no new me and my roommates don't watch new shows. We just watch... Recently, we've been either watching How I Met Your Mother or The Clone Wars.
Wow.
Because my roommates, Bridget and Sean, are obsessed with The Clone Wars.
Mm.
And I know nothing about it, but I love Star Wars, but I'm, like, only watch the live-action stuff. And I never watched The Clone Wars because the only thing I've seen in The Clone Wars, like, from when I would have watched it, like, when I was in, like, that, you know, demographic, mm-hmm. was the movie, and the movie was terrible, so I did not watch the show.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, the show is, like, amazing. So it is good, but I just am, like, I don't like the art style that much of it.
Is it the 3D blocky one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is good. Anakin's an absolute motherfucker, and I love him. But... You know. And then we've just been watching How I Met Your Mother, as always, because that's, like, our favorite show to watch. So, nothing new, but... Oh, we have been watching Killing Eve, JK. Yeah. But that's not, like, new. Everyone knows about Killing Eve. So, that's all I have to add. So, the case.
Yes, the case. So this is the case of James Dale Ritchie. So, James Dale Ritchie was born on November 4th, 1976... He grew up in Anchorage's Wonder Park neighborhood and attended East Anchorage High School. This is Anchorage, Alaska. Yes.
Okay.
Where, standing at 6'3", He's a tall girl. He was noted as being a standout athlete, having played on the 1994 state championship football and basketball teams alongside future professional athletes Trajan Langdon and Mayo Tosi. Nothing?
No, I don't know sports history. Besides, like, the only sports history I know is the Cubs and the Bulls. That's it.
Okay. Richie was a close friend of Quincy and Bobby Thompson, whose family hosted him often throughout his teenage years. Richie scored a 1,200 on his SAT, which is bad.
I did not take the SAT, so I do not know how the scores work.
Okay. Well, currently, it's out of 1,600. I'm assuming when he was in the 90s, it was still out of 2,400. So he got half.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bad, because I got higher than a 1,200. I mean, I did well on my SATs, but that was out of 1,600, not 2,400. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are Chicago people just ACT hoes?
But the Midwest is all the Midwest schools are more ACT. So, like, I know people who took the SAT, but they usually were people who were applying to schools, like, that were farther away.
Well, I took both, but...
I only took the ACT.
I did not like the ACT.
I didn't like any of it.
Oh, well, neither did I. I took it, like, 8 million times.
I was just so terrible at it. I, like, learned how to hack. Like, for the reading section, I didn't read it, but I actually did really well in the reading section, but that's because I did not read it.
You're not supposed to read it. Well,
no.
You don't read it.
Yeah.
You look at the questions and you go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just, like, skim the words. So, I, like...
We all know.
The only reason... The math section's hard to bullshit, but... Yeah, I did not do well in the math section.
I did fairly well on both my standardized tests, but I did take them 8 million times because my mother's a perfectionist.
I think I took it, I want to say 3 or 4.
I don't know how many times I took each of them, but I remember, because we took them at my high school, well, we took SAT at my high school, and then my mom said I had to take the ACT, so I had to take the ACT somewhere else, but then I took both tests a bunch of times, but they were never at my high school, so I had to go to Park Vista, which is a different high school,
mm-hmm.
not Park Vista, a different one, sorry, but I had never been there, and I didn't know where I was going,
mm-hmm.
so, like, I would just show up to school with all these high school students I didn't go to school with.
Yeah, no, I say that they, I had to go to, like, different schools when I took it, but it was always on, like, a Saturday or something,
yeah.
So it wasn't, like, it was whatever.
Wasted all my weekends.
Yeah.
Where was I? Anyway, he scored a 1,200 on his ACT and was recruited by the West Virginia University, or WVU, football team in 1994, and that's one day following the death of his friend Quincy.
Mm.
He didn't kill Quincy, I was just making a statement. He subsequently fell out of contact with the Thompson family. After a semester at WVU, Richie dropped out and returned to Alaska and became involved in drug dealing and dogfighting in 1995.
Oh, geez. Okay.
In 1998, Richie had adopted the street name Tiny.
That's funny.
Yeah, because he was tall.
Yeah.
Haha! Original. Over the following 7 years, Richie was arrested a number of times, predominantly for drug-related offenses. He was arrested for the last time in Alaska in 2005 when he was apprehended while committing a home invasion with plastic handcuffs and two handguns in his possession. After serving 2 years in custody, he resided in Alaska, during which time he acquired a Colt Python handgun. In 2013, Richie lent his handgun over to an acquaintance and moved to Broadway, Virginia, where his parents had been living at the time. Save for a pair of moving violations, Richie had no court appearances and was observed by the police as being a law-abiding citizen. Following a breakup with his girlfriend, Richie returned to Alaska in March of 2016. He reacquired the Colt Python from his acquaintance and moved to Airport Heights, where he stayed before moving to Penland Parkway Trailer Park. In Anchorage, Richie sought mental treatment through the Anchorage Police Department, but could not ascertain. Sorry, though the Anchorage Police Department could not ascertain if he had received any diagnosis, but he did seek mental treatment. Let's get into the murders, I guess. Ritchie committed his first two confirmed murders during the early morning hours of July 3rd, 2016, while he shot 20-year-old Brianna Fosey and 41-year-old Jason Netter, Sr. The two bodies were discovered together along a bike path near Ship Creek by a bicyclist at 7:45 a.m. Netter was noted for having extensive run-ins with the law, often regarding his drug-related activity, as well as child support issues with his two daughters, one of whom changed her name. Fosey was homeless and had fallen into substance abuse as well, denying intervention offered by her adoptive mother, Marcella Fosey. The nature of Fosey and Netter's relationship, if any, was not determined or disclosed. On July 5th, the murders were ruled a double homicide by the APD. After reviewing hours of surveillance footage, the APD released images of two unidentified men who were persons of interest for the investigation. The third recorded murder committed by Ritchie took place 26 days later on July 29th. Shortly after 3 a.m., Ritchie shot 21-year-old Treyavanakindal Thompson, the son of his childhood friend Bobby Thompson, multiple times while he was riding his bicycle home from work between Dubin Avenue and Boylan Street in East Anchorage. Three girls who had spotted Ritchie lingering in the woods near Boylan Street through their window just prior heard the gunfire and witnessed him grabbing Thompson's bicycle. Ritchie rode the bicycle away from the scene and brought it to his home, where it was spotted but not identified as being involved in a crime by witnesses. The police arrived at Boylan Street, where they found Thompson, who was pronounced dead at the scene shortly after. Under Sergeant Slomer Markowitz's direction, witnesses were interviewed and enough testimonies were given that a composite sketch of the suspect would later be positively identifying as Ritchie was created. Shortly after Thompson's murder, the Alaska State Crime Lab confirmed that the same murder weapon used in Fosey and Netter's murder were also used in Thompson's murder. During the early hours on August 28th, Ritchie shot dead 34-year-old Kevin Turner and 25-year-old Brian DeHudson in Valley of the Moon Park. An unidentified female passerby was walking through the park and discovered DeHudson's body along the trail at 1:42 a.m. Shortly after arriving, police discovered Turner's bullet-ridden body under the pavilion in the park. Turner suffered from schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, was homeless at the time, as he had not fared well in assisted living facilities recently. DeHudson, a notable environmental activist in Anchorage, was thought by his father, Gordon DeHudson, to be doing a late-night bicycle ride on his new Schwinn to meet a friend when he stumbled upon the fatal encounter between Ritchie and Turner. There was no relation between DeHudson and Turner. In the police report, the APD noted that very little evidence was left at the scene of the crime. However, the Alaskan State Crime Lab confirmed that the weapon used to kill Turner and DeHudson had also been used in the earlier homicides. Recognizing a modus operandi displayed by the string of murders, the APD released an advisory notice for citizens to avoid isolated trails after dark. Following the murders of Turner and DeHudson, the FBI was brought on to assist with the investigation. On September 6, Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz hosted a press conference that asserted that gang violence was largely responsible for the record-breaking numbers of murders in the city, though he refused to acknowledge the evidence, leading credibility to the serial killer theory. Lending credibility to serial killer theory. The FBI offered a $10,000 reward, leading to the apprehension of the suspect responsible for Thompson's murder, while refusing to comment on any connection to the other murders, due to the concerns that acknowledged that a weapon tying all the crimes together would run the risk of promoting a killer to dispose of it. The joint APD and FBI task force subsequently received upwards of 175 tips over the following 2 months, at least one of which pertained to Ritchie. Following Thompson's murder, his mother, Mandy Primo, had conducted an independent investigation to discover her son's killer. After searching homeless camps and low-income neighborhoods, Primo claimed to have located an armed Ritchie. Our mascot's name's Ritchie, and I just think that's kind of funny.
I kept thinking of Ritchie from, not Stranger Things, from It.
Yeah. Near the Alaska Regional Hospital in October of 2016. Primo claimed to have contacted the APD lieutenant and reported that she had found her son's killer. She claimed to have contemplated over the phone confronting Ritchie directly, which the lieutenant advised against, as he was armed and her infant child was in the car. Richie was killed near the corner of Fifth Avenue and Cordova Street in Anchorage during a gunfight with Officer Arn Salio and Sergeant Mark Patsky of the APD on November 12, 2016. Officer Salio, while responding to an unrelated report of unpaid taxicab fares, spotted Richie walking down the street at 4:30 a.m. Salio pulled up alongside Richie and asked for him to stop, presumably to ask him if he had witnessed the crime. Richie continued walking, prompting Salio to repeat the question over his megaphone. without warning, Richie turned, walked towards Officer Salio's vehicle, drew his Colt Python, and opened fire on Salio, hitting him 6 times, which resulted in damage to his bones, intestines, and liver. Salio exited his patrol car, returned fire while also engaging Richie in a physical confrontation. Sergeant Patsky of the K-9 unit spotted the confrontation and fired upon Richie, who was killed by a number of gunshot wounds. Salio was taken to an area hospital, where he was moved out of the intensive care unit after 7 hours of surgery. Aftermath. Following Richie's death, the Colt Python on his person was sent to the Alaska Crime Lab, where it was confirmed to have been the murder weapon responsible for the deaths of Brianna Fosey, Jason Netter Sr., Trey Vock and Kendall Thompson, Kevin Turner, and Brenda Hudson. The investigation task force had not considered Richie a suspect due to his lack of run-ins with the law over the decade prior. After 78 hours of investigation and contacting the victim's family, APD Chief Chris Tolley hosted a press conference in which he announced the connection between the homicides and the attempt on Officer Salio's life. Additionally, Lieutenant John McKinnon confirmed that the investigation had revealed a connection between the murders, but the task force withheld it from the public out of concern that Richie would have disposed of the Colt Python and realized it, had he realized it had been sought. The weapon, which had been purchased in 1971, was not registered to Richie. The original owner was questioned by the APD with the intent of discovering how it found its way to Richie's possession. Richie was immediately identified as being the assailant responsible for Thompson's murder due to the witnesses and identification of his photo identification matching the composite set sketch. While the APD continued to collect evidence implicating Richie's involvement in other homicides tied to the Colt Python, the FBI looked to trace Richie's activities in Virginia and Nevada prior to returning to Alaska in 2016. On April 26, 2017, APD spokesperson Renee Ostad announced that sufficient probable cause was determined to confirm that Richie was solely responsible for the 5 murders and therefore a confirmed serial killer. Investigators had traced the Colt Python handgun's whereabouts back to confirm that it had found its way into Richie's possession prior to the murder of Fozzie and Netter in July 2016. With Ostad's announcement, the cases were closed. A month later, on May 23rd, the Anchorage Police Department released dash cam footage recordings just prior to Richie and Salio's confrontation, as well as details pertaining to Richie's personal history. That's it. That's the end of the case. I don't know why he was killing drug addicts, but he was.
Weird.
Yep.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was trying to understand why, but there's just...
I don't know. He probably knew them for when he, was selling drugs, but no one knows why.
Interesting. Okay. I have to pull up some names because I haven't watched the show in a while. But
what show is it?
I, for some reason, was just, thinking of this more about, of where it was happening, but it's not, the show and this don't take place in the same space. Similar area. similar vibes, though.
Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I was just, it's kind of confusing. People were like, what the fuck's happening? You know what I mean? Just confused. But I just need to pull up the names because I cannot remember the name of the I shouldn't do cast. They always show pictures of them now, and I cannot recognize some people.
while you're looking up that, I was actually named after a show similar to Twin Peaks, not really at all, named after a character in the show, but it was Northern Exposure, and it took place in Alaska.
Mm.
And the pilot's name was Maggie.
Interesting. Oh my gosh. Okay, anyways, so I'll just talk about Twin Peaks first. Twin Peaks, if you do not know what it is a show that originally aired in the 90s. It came out, I know, like, a little bit about the lore on the show. So, Twin Peaks, is, like, created and directed by David Lynch. And if you don't know David Lynch, he's a very, I don't know, like, what genre of film, like, just very weird, like, film. He's, like, did, like, Blue Violet and, they have, like, a very eerie feeling, like, all of the things he does.
He did Eraserhead.
Yeah, Eraserhead.
It's, like, I know David Lynch's name, mm-hmm. but I'm looking through his filmography. I was about to say discography.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, don't
What's the, like,
recognize many of his.
What, let me see. Can I take a look? I want to see what I've seen. So, oh, geez, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
Taz.
Oh, I don't know what I just did. Okay, Twin Peaks. What did Jack do? I've heard of that. Twin Peaks. Oh, these are like, there's a lot of shorts, which is, I think, why. I know, Eraserhead, Blue Velvet, not Blue Violet. The Elephant Man. And then, there's another one that I cannot remember the name of that I think I've seen, but I'm not sure. But anyways, like, I've seen all of Twin Peaks, except for the new season that recently came out. That was, like, it wasn't a reboot, but it was, like, a revival. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Twin Peaks came out, and it was kind of, like, it was airing on, like, television, and it was not very popular because it was one of the first shows to have, like, a very, like, episodic, like, you have to have seen the last episode to understand what's going on type of style show.
Okay.
Which now is, like, every
normal,
show.
Yeah.
But, like, if you think about it, just, like, sitcoms and stuff, you really don't need to know what's happening. It's just funny. Kind of things like that. Or even, like, some of them, it's just, like, you know. But this was, like, a very, like, intellectual, like, weird show. But it got, like, a huge cult following from that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, like, became very popular later on. Like, I know so many people who watch who've seen Twin Peaks now, where it's, like, you would be, like, that's odd. But anyways, I, like, watched it in high school. I forgot why I watched it. I think my dad was into Twin Peaks when it came out, so he was, like, talking about it, so I watched it. But basically, it's, in Washington... Washington State. There's a hotel. And there's...
Are they in Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
That's the name of the town.
Twin Peaks is the name of the town.
But, you're, like, struggling here.
There's
a hotel.
I'm so sorry. There's just so many things that happen in this stupid show.
Well, I've only seen the first couple episodes. Would you like me to set the scene?
No, I got you. Okay. I'll go from, like, the first episode. I'm thinking so far ahead on this. Basically, the first episode is this girl gets murdered.
Laura Palmer.
Laura Palmer is murdered. And it's, like, the reaction of, like, the town. And then an FBI agent gets called in to investigate the murder. Mm-hmm. She's, like, found, like, washed up on the shore in, like, a body bag. Mm-hmm. And is, you know, dead. And they're not sure what happened to her. Like, they don't know who killed her. They know she was assaulted. And there was a, like, thing under... Like, they knew it was, like, enough to call the police. So it's Dale Cooper is the FBI agent. I love him.
Yes.
He's, like, this very weird guy. Like, mm-hmm. he's very strange. And he's
likes a damn fine cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, so he's this very strange guy, and he's, like, in this town, and he's working with the, like, local police force on this case. And it's kind of just, like... It reminds me a lot of, like, if you have you ever played, like, one of those, like, like mystery games where it's kind of, like, it's, I forgot what that type of game is called, where it's kind of just, like, a video game, but it's, like, just, like, all, like, reading and, like, making choices of, like, doing stuff.
Okay.
Like, one of the, it feels like one of those type of things where it's
I'm not
like,
a gamer girl. I don't play video games.
Okay. Well, I mean, I, like, I don't
I've seen the show, Tess. I know how it feels.
Well, I know. I'm just
saying. Yeah, no, it's a whodunit, but everyone's weird.
Yeah, everyone is weird.
And dare I say, the two main girls look almost identical.
Audrey and, Donna?
Yeah, sure. Are you like, in episode one... The daughter of the hotel guy, which I think is Audrey.
Audrey, yeah.
And then, like, the friend of Laura Palmer. They Donna. Have the same exact hair, but then, like, the next episode, Audrey's hair changes. It gets, like, longer.
They have the same hair. I feel like they look very... Like, they have very different faces.
You know, I struggled. But anyway, then the two boys look the same, too. Let me just be honest with everyone. All the teens look very similar.
Well, yeah.
But you get to know them, you know. They're all just, you know.
Yeah, it's just
brown-haired people.
Yeah. It's very weird. But, basically, like, this is a hard one to explain just because there's so much whack shit that happens where it's just, like, all the... It's, like, this whole, like... It's supernatural, but it's, like, also, like, not... But it also is. Like, there's a lot of, like, Native American kind of lore in it as well with, like, some stuff. But basically there's this, like, spirit thing, Bob.
It's what?
Like, yeah. It's, like, okay. This guy that, like, possessed... This is, like, spoilers, but basically the dad killed Laura.
Laura's dad?
Laura's dad, like...
Killed Laura?
Like, did that.
Wow, no idea.
But he was, like, possessed...
Okay.
By Bob.
Okay.
Who's this, like, really freaky... Because, like, the mom keeps, like, seeing him in, like, their house. And, like, she'll, like, have these, like, fits, like, screaming and stuff. And it'll be, like, this, like...
I remember the screaming.
Yeah. And, like, he'll be there. And then it's, like, this guy... He's, like, not real, but he also is, like, tangible. But he sometimes isn't. It's so weird. But it gets into, like, all this very weird, like... There's, like, the white cabin and the black cabin... And, like, Dale Cooper is just, like, gets very, like, wrapped up in all of it. And then, like...
There's also, like, affairs happening.
Yeah.
And there's, like, an abusive husband named Leo.
Yeah, there's... Like... That plots... There's, like, the whole, like, weird, like, gang in the town where it's, like, oh, we're, like, protect from, like, evil or whatever.
Like, drug dealing. I don't know, like, the two guys.
Yeah, there's, like, some... It's
There's a lot.
So, basically, I think the reason why I was, like, thinking about it, because it feels like in, like, this, like, case with, like, where they're at in Alaska, like, there's all this, like, shady stuff going on, and yet the murder really, like... The guy wasn't, like, that involved in that. Like, he was, but, like, I feel like he wasn't killing, like, because of, like, gang reasons. He was just killing people.
Maybe.
And it just seemed like he was just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying, where it's just, like, confused. Like, you would think it would be about one thing, and it's just not. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Also, not to mention, just everyone in Twin Peaks is weird.
Yeah.
Like, everyone at the police station, quirky, you know? Like, the woman at the phone.
Yeah.
And, like, all I remember is this one scene. I think it's, like, the last scene I saw before I stopped watching it. Which, I liked it. It was just very long. They were, like, standing outside, and the FBI agent was, like, had this, like, board up. And the rest of them were sitting in chairs. Uh-huh. And he was, like, what does this have to do with this? And they're, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was, like, throwing things. And I just... It was weird.
When I watched Twin Peaks, I was so into it, but that's just because I love really weird shows.
No, I should finish it.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes my roommate watches it, but she's so far into it that I don't know where she is. But, like, I know all the characters and who they are.
I think my plan is I'm gonna rewatch it so I can watch the third season that has come out, because I've heard it was good.
And I have a Twin Peaks coffee cup from the, Was it Double R Diner?
Yeah.
Because my friend went to where it was filmed. and that mm-hmm. diner exists now.
I think I remember I was watching and my mom was like, oh, I've been to the hotel there. And I was like, really? And because I think she was like visiting a friend out in like Washington. They like drove out there. I'm like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. I just love anything in the Pacific Northwest. I'm just like, the vibes are luscious.
Oh, 100%.
For sure. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I might rewatch it. But basically, just weird on weird.
And like, the detective's always, like, talking into a recorder to some woman.
Yeah.
Which, to my knowledge, you never meet.
No.
And you never find out who she is.
No. Yeah, I don't know who she is. There's just a lot of unexplained shit. And then I'm trying to think of, like, any other fun little things. There's the log lady who she carries around a log and the log speaks to her. There was the whole weird things with James and Donna, like the two teens that were Laura's friends that like kind of started dating.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whole weird thing. I like the sheriff.
Me too.
He was like, I feel like he was the
most, always eating donuts.
Yeah, he was the most normal one, I think.
Yeah.
He was kind of just like, you know, small town sheriff guy. And Shelley Johnson, the waitress, she is in Riverdale. She plays the mom.
She's also in an in Gossip Girl.
Oh, really?
During the, maybe it's a spring break episode or something, Nate is hooking up with her, but she's married. Mm. But then Nate's lying to everyone and being like, oh, I'm hooking up with Serena. But he's not. He's sleeping with her.
Mm.
She's like... Like, she was very, very pretty in Twin Peaks, but she still got it, you know?
Oh, my God. She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, that's, like, so basically, with Twin Peaks, it's, like, you figure out, like, the murder kind of gets solved, but it also doesn't, because then it's, like, all this weird lore.
Doesn't Laura have, like, a twin? It's, like, her cousin.
Yeah.
But it's a brunette, her.
It's, like, the same actress, yeah. She comes into town, complicates things. Yeah. I don't know. It's so weird. But what can you do?
Nothing, I guess. Yeah. Bunch of good shows.
Yeah.
Please watch Hunters. Just a side note. It's pretty good. Anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think I have anything else.
Cool. I've been recently getting into the Saw series again, and by that I mean watching, like, the kill counts on them.
Mm-hmm.
You just shatter my match.
No.
It's in four pieces now, Tess.
Well, one, this was already broken off. I didn't touch that one. This part was kind of like that.
Okay.
Don't listen. Don't worry about it. What?
It just, that match is broken because when I was doing the photo shoot for my photo project and Red was here, he was trying to light that match and he broke it and then he kept trying and then he lit it and immediately dropped it onto my rug. And that's what that broken match is.
Mm.
What was I saying? Oh, I've been watching the Kill Counts for the Saw series and I had friends over. You were there. You were one of them.
Uh-huh.
On Friday, we made chicken wings, and after you left, we were watching horror movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching Insidious, and the man in Insidious, I'm gonna say his name wrong. He plays one of the two like nerdy dudes that helps Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
His name's Lee Winnell. He is one of the two main characters in the first Saw movie, but he's a director. But I just thought it was, because you know the first Saw movie, it's got that guy from Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's happening in my kitchen's very loud, I'm so sorry. It's got the guy from Princess Bride, and then it's got another guy, and they're trapped in, like, the room, like, one's in the bathtub and one at the Saw.
Yes.
Okay. Lee Winnell is the guy that was in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of the two main characters. But he's a director, and James made a joke about him being a bad actor. But then he was in Insidious, and I was like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Why are you still acting? Like, it's weird that he's, like, acting in horror films, but that's, like, not at all what he's known for. And I'm assuming he's writing them as well. But.
Interesting.
That's what I thought about. Because then I realized I watched them all out of order, but I've also watched, like, Saw Explained videos.
Oh, and how they're all connected.
Yeah, like, I've watched many, many videos on the Saw series, but I have never seen a Saw movie. But I think I can put together from all the clips I've witnessed the Saw movies, and I probably understand the Saw movies more than anyone who's actually seen them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's that. I've been really into Saw lately. So if anyone wants to talk about Saw with me.
Cool.
I'm going to Toronto this weekend, too. Just a second.
That's exciting.
Going to Canada, guys. It's spring break, so.
Yeah. You're going to... I'll be in Boston hanging out with my roommate's mom.
I couldn't afford to go home for spring break to Florida, so I'm going to... going north to Canada for a weekend. And they said we could go to an art gallery, so I'm going to go to an art gallery.
Nice.
Yes. Everyone's going there to get high, but I don't smoke the devil's lettuce. So I'm just going to hang out at the art gallery. And that's a fact. I'm not just saying that. Tess can back me up on that one. Because I'm cool. No, I'm kidding. That's it. That's all I have to say. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing in Boston. We'll probably just, you know, go out, hang around. I mean, I'm just going home with my roommate. So we'll just be at her mom's house. I get to meet her dog, though, and hang out with her younger brother, who's, like, a freshman in high school.
Oh, I love Neil.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
Uh-huh.
That's fun.
Yeah. I'm so excited to just hang out with her mom, though. Bridget told me, she's like, my mom prays for you every day. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet, Mary Kay Hill. So.
Yeah. Speaking of praying, I applied to a job at a Christian facility, because I need a job.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm an atheist. And I was just like, if I get this job, I'm just going to become a Christian. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I'm an atheist. I'm going to be like, I love God.
Listen.
Deuteronomy is my favorite book in the Bible. And I can drive a car, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well.
That's it. That's my statement. I'm becoming Christian for a job. I became pro-cigarette for a job application. And you know what? They didn't hire me. Big Tobacco didn't hire me. I was like, I love smoking in the workplace. And they're like, no, we don't want you here. It was like, are you okay working in a workplace that has, like, tobacco products? And okay. I was like, I love it. Tobacco.
Oh, my God.
Lung cancer, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm willing to do anything for a job. That would get me a marketing co-op qualification.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we're all clear on that one. If anyone's listening out there who will get me a job, not just send me a TED Talk on how to be happier in the workplace, that would be ideal. Please send me jobs. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Once again, if you're a relative of mine and you find my cursing cringy, please stop listening to this podcast. No one asked you to. And don't kill anyone.
Bye.
Bye.